As Tom mentioned earlier this fire season, on the 10th of July, four firefighters died in north-central Washington in the 30-mile fire. Now, the Yakima Herald-Republic has published a detailed account of that event, including the command decisions made by the U.S. Forest Service employees. Tom Roeder was part of a team of reporters on the 30-mile story.
I think in this case it's pretty clear that these deaths were preventable right up until the last minute. If you look at the witness accounts and the evidence, they were in a safe place, but the commander at the scene, Elrice Daniels, thought that they were so safe that they wouldn't have to deploy their shelters. So they took an attitude that the fire would pass them by. This is evidenced by the people at the scene were snapping pictures when they could have been preparing their own deployment sites and getting ready for this fire to hit them. It also led the group to scatter. Both of these things are far against the Forest Service's own teachings. They have a manual out called Your Fire Shelter. Fire shelter is an aluminum and fiberglass structure that will hold out heat up to 600 degrees and save your life. In there, young firefighters are told, listen to your commander. He'll tell you when and where to deploy. Follow orders.
Of course, they did eventually get under the shelters, but you're saying the order didn't come soon enough.
The order didn't come soon enough, and it didn't come until long after the group had scattered. People actually climbed that canyon wall to get a better view of the fire. Those who were up on the canyon wall were in a very bad place to deploy their fire shelters because the shelters have to seal to the ground to seal out superheated gases that precede the fire. It's pretty clear if Elrice Daniels, the commander, had been able to keep these people together, that they would have stood a better chance on the road that cut through the canyon.
Tom Craven died, Karen Fitzpatrick, just to name them, Jessica Johnson and Devin Weaver. There were people who survived under shelters there.
There were many that survived under shelters. If you look at the total group that was up there, it was 16 and 12 survived. Those who survived primarily were on the road. But in order to keep people there would take accurately estimating the strength of this fire. That didn't happen all day at 30 Mile on July 10th.
You say they misjudged the fire.
They simply misjudged the fire from the get-go. I think that they didn't have the tools they needed to judge this fire. The guidelines of the National Interagency Fire Center, which are used by the Forest Service, state that if there is a potential for extreme fire behavior, then you need to have what's called a spot weather forecast, which is a very small area forecast that will tell you what winds and whatnot will do in that canyon. That's a tool you can use to predict fire behavior. They never tried to get that from the National Weather Service. In fact, the spot weather forecast they had was for a fire about 40 miles away and was of questionable value. They simply underestimated it all day, but I don't think they were in a position to accurately estimate it.
You know, reading through your series of reports here, it becomes very strange to find that a couple of campers actually drive down this road, the same road the firefighters take, and your series makes the point that this road should have been closed for a long time ago.
That's something where, if you look at the Forest Service, they do have some guidelines that say where smoke would obscure traffic and whatnot, you know, close the road and direct traffic. In this case, that didn't happen. They came through shortly after noon when the fire is clearly getting more active and no steps were taken to keep that road closed. What concerns me there is that's how these campers went up at the end of the canyon, and what got them entrapped was the fact that they were able to get down there in the first place.
So did the firefighters indeed have any business going down that road?
That is a question where I really wish we had more sources who would speak to us about that as far as what their exact logic was. But when you look at that, put them in front of the fire, that put them in front of this blaze, which at that point is more than 100 acres. It's raging, it's being pushed by wind, and it has created its own thunderhead cloud of smoke that can be seen for miles and miles. This is something when you only have one escape route, you can't go tackle. You need to have a second escape route. That never got found in the 30-mile canyon, and these guys still attempted what was basically a frontal assault in the fire. That's what got them cut off.
What is the Forest Service saying now about the findings of your series?
Haven't spoken to the Forest Service over the last couple of days. I would be surprised if they did comment. Throughout the work on this story, the Forest Service has told us And many of the people involved in this fire have told us that they will not comment until the Forest Service completes their own internal investigation.
Mr. Roeder, thank you for talking with us.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Tom Roeder of the Yakima Herald-Republic, the special report on the 30-mile fire was in Sunday's paper.